Tonight's lesson comes from Psalm 102. That might have been me or it might have been David. I don't know which it was. Psalm 102. If you have your Bibles again and you look at Psalm 102 and right underneath that little superscription says, at least in mine, a prayer of the afflicted when he's overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. In this particular psalm, we have the writer, and he's not identified, but whoever the psalmist is, has been undergoing a tremendous amount of suffering for something. It doesn't reveal in the psalm why he's been suffering, why he's been so discouraged, why he's suffering so much grief. He's in despair, but we don't know why. About the first half of the psalm is his plea to God. And he tells God, and he goes to God about all of his suffering and his discouragement. But the last part of the psalm is God's divine answer to his suffering. And that's the part that really is helpful for us. All of us, and especially lately, many of us have had some tremendous grief in our lives. It could be from physical problems or spiritual type problems or emotional problems, whatever. But the answer, the psalmist says, is the same regardless of what is causing the grief. So, let's look at this. The first two verses gives us kind of the address. It tells us who the psalmist, the writer, the singer is addressing. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me and do what? In the day that I call, answer me speedily. Answer me quickly. See, he is desperate. He has reached that stage in his grief and his despair where he's desperate. He's needing God desperately. So he cries out to him, please hear what I'm saying to you. This is one of those psalms, the most common type out of all 150. This is one of those psalms of lament. You know, we have a book called Lamentations that Jeremiah wrote. Where it is a kind of a poem of sorrow. Well, that's what this is, at least the first half. It's a poem of sorrow because he describes how he feels. The first 11 verses describes how he feels. And when we go through this, see if you can't kind of sympathize with him in his suffering. And again, whether it's from a physical illness or emotional or social or spiritual or whatever, he wants God to hear. Back in Psalms 18, verse 6, the psalmist there says something very similar. Psalm 18, verse 6, this is considered to be a psalm of David, the 18th psalm is. And notice what David says in Psalms 18, 6, and notice how similar it is to Psalm 102. Verse 6 of Psalm 18 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. See, David there in that psalm is crying out to God, and he knows God hears. Well, in our psalm, this one who's afflicted, this one who's in despair, who's experiencing grief, wants God to hear. Don't hide from me, God. Listen to what is going on in my life, and he is certain that God's going to hear him. Now, in verses 3 through 11, the psalmist describes these feelings and what he's undergoing. He begins by saying, first of all, for my days are consumed like smoke, and what? My bones are burned like a hearth. He says, first of all, that's how I'm feeling. He says, my days are consumed like smoke. There's a strain on him. He is suffering. And again, we don't know the source of it, but we know that he is in very deep despair. It's like smoke. They're just consumed. They're eaten away. They're gone. And anyway, he was suffering. And he's being consumed by sorrow because of the very difficult things in his life that's causing him this sorrow. He feels like he's being consumed by it, and his bones are just being burned up. That's what he says. He says, my bones are being burned up. How difficult that's got to be. He's experiencing pain. It might be mental pain, it might be spiritual pain, it might be physical pain, but his pain was deep. He says it goes all the way to the bones. That's a deep type of sorrow and grief. So this, whatever it is in his life, the psalmist is saying it's very serious. He is, and we could probably use the phrase, he is living in depression. Whatever is causing it has caused him to sink to a very low level. And again, he's in very desperate straits. His pain, like he says, goes all the way to the bone. It's crushing him, this grief is. He says, my heart is stricken, and it's withered like grass so that I forget to eat my bread. His heart's broken. Something has happened in his life that he feels like his heart is broken. And most of us can probably sympathize with having a broken heart. Many things can cause us to feel like we have a broken heart. That's what the psalmist, that's what the writer of this psalm was saying. I have a broken heart. It might be from one single event in his life, or it might be an accumulation of a lot of things. But whatever it is, he feels like his heart has been smashed. He's received a blow. And he says he's been cut down, withered like grass. Grass, when it's cut down, what happens to it? It dies fast, doesn't it? He says, that's how I feel. He's being crushed, and that causes a loss of appetite. He says, my heart is so broken that I even forget to eat. And that's a very serious problem when people have experienced a loss. They forget to eat. And so forgetting to eat, you know, makes things worse. And so it's just kind of like a vicious cycle. So he's even forgotten to eat. The pain is so unbearable and the grief is so deep that he has forgotten to eat. And maybe you've been there where your pain and suffering has been so bad that you've just forgotten to eat. It's just not one of those things that you think about. And he says, because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. We know the expression, you know, skin and bones. That's how he feels. You know, this has caused him not to eat, and he's lost his appetite, and he's lost weight, and he's withering away because of whatever has happened to him. His suffering and pain is so deep that he's not thinking about nourishment and keeping himself active and all these things that's necessary. And so he's withering away. He's just become nothing, as he says, but skin and bones. This was not something, and I think this is an important point. This is not something trivial that he's undergoing. This is something very serious. So it's not something that he can just get over in a matter of a short time. Sometimes we tell people, well, you just need to get over it. Well, now, there are certain things that aren't very important. Yeah, you can do that. But that's not the case with the psalmist. This was something very serious. It wasn't just something he could get over all of a sudden and it'd be gone. That wasn't it. This was something that was tearing him up. He had terrible pain and suffering and grief. He was depressed. He was discouraged. He was in despair. And at the first, he didn't really know what to do. So what else did it cause? I am like, the New King James uses pelican. Some other translations I read had night owl and other things. The word for this particular bird is kind of difficult to pin down. The New King James says, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. These words these are both birds anyway that at least in the Old Testament represent loneliness, despair, isolation. And often people who are undergoing these type of things feel like they're isolated, that no one can understand their suffering, no one can relate to their pain and their grief, so they feel isolated. And so the psalmist says, that's how I feel. I feel like these birds that are by themselves way out in the wilderness. And there's no one there that can really feel for me or relate to me. It's not true, but that's how he felt. And so when people are like that, others or us, we need to understand that those feelings are very real, because that's what the psalmist is saying. Those feelings are very real. I feel isolated. I feel alone. And so he's withdrawn. He says, I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone in the housetop. That's how he felt. He felt like he was alone by himself. And he was staying awake because of it. But something else was happening that made things even worse. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Now some of his enemies are even making things worse. Some people, and I've known this to happen, and maybe you have too, when something bad happens in their lives, other people will come up and say, well, where's your God now? You know, you talk about your God being a good God and a merciful God and a just God and a loving God. Where's your God now during all these difficult times? Ever had anybody you know of you say that? That's what the psalmist is saying here. And that just made things worse. And he said, it felt like, what's his phrase? It feels like I've eaten ashes like bread. Mourning was it seemed like that's all that was around him. That's what he was eating every day was mourning. Mourning and weeping and sorrow and crying. That's what it was, just over and over and over. That was his whole life. He said he was just almost consumed by it. And mingled my drink with weeping. His tears filled his life from sun up to sundown. From the time he woke up till the time he went to bed, it was tears and sorrow and grieving. Now, something else he thinks might be causing this, because of your, talking about God's, indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. Now he thinks, well, maybe I've done something that's caused God to be angry with me. Maybe that's part of it. So now he starts to question his life. Maybe I've sinned in such a way that God has done this to me. He says, my days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. You know, it's like his life is slipping away, and each day is just more grief and more pain and more suffering. He's very aware of his own mortality. He just sees his life up there, and it's just passing away, and things aren't getting better. I'm glad the psalm doesn't end with verse 11. Now, what's the next word in verse 12? But. The whole psalm hinges on that one little three-letter word. So here is the solution to what's happening in the psalmist's life. Regardless of how long this has been going on, this is the solution in the next like 10 verses. He says, this is what you need to do. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever. Now notice the transition. Verse 11 talks about how the psalmist, you know, he was seeing that he was mortal and his days were slipping by and his life would soon be over. But God is what? Eternal. He's the great I Am, going all the way back to Exodus 3. He says, you'll endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. There's the first thing. He says, Even though I know my life is slipping away and I'm mortal and all of this, I know you're not mortal. You live outside of the duration of time. You're eternal in the heavens. So therefore, you live above that. And that's the God to whom the psalmist is addressing the psalm. He says, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come." He certainly, the psalmist, feels like he's part of a greater community. Zion, the typical word in the Old Testament for Jerusalem, the seat of God's people. So he's feeling that he's part of something greater. And he says, "God, I know you're outside of time. I know that you are a God of mercy and a God of love and compassion. I know you are." Notice what his solution centers around: on the nature of God. Not about him, not about the world, not about the cause of his pain, but it's all about what? Who God is. It says that's the answer, is dwelling on who God is. He's eternal. He's merciful. He's loving. What else? "For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust, so the nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." God is one that we can count on. He is powerful and he's just. The psalmist says, "You are one I can rely upon. When you make promises, you'll keep them, whether it's to an individual or to the whole nation. And all other nations shall fear you." What else? Verse 17, he says, "He shall regard the prayer of the destitute." See, that's how he feels. He feels like he's destitute. "And shall not despise their prayer." He knows God's going to act on his behalf. So he trusts in God. It all comes back to that. Because of who God is, the psalmist says, "I can trust him." So I can trust all those places in God's Word that talks about how God's going to look over, look out for us, care for us, have compassion for us, love us, have mercy upon us. So because of who God is, his nature, I know that this will pass and that God will take care of me. That's what the psalmist is saying. He says that's the answer. And that God's going to hear the prayer of those who are in grief, suffering, despair, pain, who are destitute. It says God's going to hear him. Why? Because of who God is. "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord." All of this, again, goes back to who God is. It's all about his nature. He looks down from heaven. He sees what's happening on the earth. He knows who's in pain. He knows everyone who is suffering. He knows why they're suffering. He knows all of that. And because of who he is, the psalmist says, "I can trust him to do what's right." So regardless of how long I suffer, regardless of how long I'm in this situation, I know God can take care of it. I know he has mercy and he has compassion and he has love. So he says, "I know God can take care of me," and that's what he bases all of this on. He says, "He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations." He was concerned that his suffering, his grief, his pain might shorten his days. And of course, that sometimes happens. So again, he cries to God, he pleads to God, about that, about his days being shortened. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Why does he include that? Here God is being addressed as the one who laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. It shows God's power. God's the one that made all of this, the psalmist says. The writer, the singer of this hymn, says, you're the one that made all of this. You're the one that has that power. I don't have any power, but I know you do. So because of that, it goes still back to God's nature. He is all-powerful, and He is all-knowing. He's all-caring, and He's all-loving. So we can put our trust in Him. See, God doesn't change. His purpose doesn't change. His character doesn't change. His nature doesn't change. You know, the years change, but God doesn't. The years have no effect on God because He's outside of time. Time doesn't change God. And that makes the psalmist feel better because his God doesn't change. As the Bible says in Hebrews about Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So who He is has never changed, nor will it ever change. So He keeps His promises. He is faithful and He's trustworthy. The psalmist says, that's what's going to help me get through this terrible time of depression and suffering, emotional pain, isolation, all of these things. He says, that's what's going to help me get through it. He says, they will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them and they will be changed. But you're the same and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Again, God doesn't change. He's always been a loving God. He's always been a merciful God. He's always been a compassionate God. He's always been a caring God. And He knows about all of our suffering. He knows the grief we're going through, the losses we're going through, all the types of suffering and pain and grief and despair. He knows all of that. And He's aware of it. And what we need to do, we need to, just like the psalmist, rely upon God and His Word. His Word is a comfort to us. Especially the Psalms. Probably of all the books in the Bible, the Psalms are ones we go to for comfort. Because all the type of things we experience have been experienced by those in the Psalms. Whether it's physical suffering, mental suffering, spiritual suffering, emotional suffering, social suffering. If our friends leave us, or family leave us, or people betray us, or people lie to us, or any of those things, they're all covered in the Psalms. And so we can go there and see how the Psalm, how the writers, through inspiration, responded. And therefore, we know how to respond as well. That is a wonderful Psalm. It's an amazing psalm, really. Now you know why he said, I'm glad it didn't stop at verse 11. Because he gives us the answer to whatever type of pain we're going through. Remember who God is, His nature, and His character, and that will never change. The same God that the psalmist was addressing is the same God we address in our prayers every day. The exact same one. He hasn't changed in any way. He cares for us just as much as He cared for the psalmist. He loves us just as much as He did the psalmist. He's just as compassionate toward us as He was to the psalmist. And that's what was getting the psalmist through, was that he could rely and trust upon God and upon His Word and His promises. And so can we. When we have difficult times, and stressful times and discouraging times and depressing times and times of grief and sorrow, we can go to the exact same God the psalmist did for answers and for help and for encouragement, for hope. And that's why it's such a great psalm for all of us who have ever been afflicted or ever will be afflicted. The answer is always God. That's what the psalmist said. Tonight, the invitation is yours. The answer is still God. What shall I do to be saved? God has the answer. How can I remain in fellowship with His Son? Well, God has the answer. How has He told us? It's in His Word. And we can know that. So tonight, if it's your desire to respond, to become a Christian, to ask for prayers, whatever, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.